Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Again, I would say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We're going to talk about relationship today. How many people want to have joy in your relationship? Maybe between your friends, partners, husband and wife. How many people want to be miserable in relationship? Raise your hand up. I'm glad you don't raise your hand, because otherwise I may have to do a brain transplant. Everyone want to be joyful in relationship. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard like this? Something people say like this. If you meet the right person and you marry that right person, you're going to be happy forevermore. Is it true? Da shook her head. Pastor Da shook her head. It's not true. Hallelujah. I agree with Pastor Da. A lot of people think that if I marry the right person, I will be happy from that day on forever. Actually, you know, in marriage, we go to the, walk to the aisle and go to the altar and then sing some hymn and finish the wedding. That is marriage. But after the marriage, we will say, I will alter him. I will change him. I will change her. A lot of time, you know, we get into rings when we talk about relationship or marriage. A lot of people get engaged. And they talk about ring. Engagement ring. And then a marriage ring. And after that, suffering. Not how many people get engagement ring and then wedding ring and then suffering? Hallelujah. So relationship is not easy. You know, Christianity is about relationship. Amen. We have relationship with God and we have relationship with other people. We have a relationship with our spouse. We have a relationship with our brother and sister in the church, in the local church. And every relationship has difficult times. How many people agree with that? Every relationship has some difficult time, has up time and down times. Not always up time, but sometimes we face a down time. And that is a normal part of life, that we face ups and downs and difficult times. We are not happy all the time. Sometimes we cry. You know why? Because we are related to human beings. Amen. We are human beings. We are not perfect. People get sick. People argue. People have misunderstandings. Sometimes they are inconsiderate. Sometimes things don't go right. Sometimes we have this expectation and they have another expectation. And then misunderstanding happen. You are not always in a constant honeymoon period. Amen. A lot of people think that they are honeymoon in honeymoon all the time. No, no. You have up and down time in your relationship. To be honest, sometimes relationships are like a disaster. Very, very difficult. So, I'd like to talk to you in the next two sessions, today and next Sunday, about how to keep joy in your relationship. How to keep joy. What is the difference between happiness and joy? How many people know? Happiness is about outward things. Happiness depends on happenings. The word happenings and happiness come from the root word hap, which means luck or something that happened. So happiness comes from outside, but joy is inside. Amen. Joy doesn't depend on what is going on the outside. Joy doesn't depend on what is happening. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen, amen. A while ago, some people think that I was crazy that I laugh. Actually, I didn't laugh because I'm happy. I laugh because I have the joy of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not of eating or drinking, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when we become Christian, we already have the seed of the joy of God inside us. But we need to let it loose. We need to let the Holy Spirit rise up to give the joy. In fact, as a doctor, I find out that the joy of the Holy Ghost is like an anesthetic. It's like an anesthesia. When God gives somebody joy, something is happening inside. Anesthetic to cut off all the pain. Some healing happened. I just read about a testimony of an evangelist. And I'm going to go to her meeting by the end of September. Some of you who have incurable disease and you have not been healed yet, I recommend you go with me in September to Houston, Texas. They're going to have a healing explosion. And I believe this is going to be her last meeting because she is more than 80 years old. Her name is Frances Hunter. How many people heard of Frances Hunter? In her ministry, the leg come out, the cancer get healed, the blind see, the deaf ear open. I want to get anointing. I'm just going to go to bed, get her lay hand on me to get the anointing of healing. And if you have some incurable disease, you can go. We have the poster outside. Amen. And in her testimony, she said that in one time in the whole church, the presence of God came so strong that every single one was laughing in the Holy Spirit. One lady have shivered hand like this. After she laughed, the hand came out, become normal, and she can use her hand again. Some people have the crooked teeth. The teeth become straight in the meeting. Amen. Some people who have deaf ear, the deaf ear open, while the laughter go all to over the church at that time. And the fire of God came, people laugh in the whole meeting. Every single one, this happened in Canada many years ago. Amen. So, God even heal her from having a hole in her heart and from her heart failure. God can heal anything. Amen. That's why I believe in healing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. How can you get strength if you are sick? Amen. If your relationship is broken, you cannot have strength. That's why we need to have the joy of God in everything we do. We need to have the joy of God in our ministry. We need to have the joy of God in our relationship. You know, Pastor Da and I, sometimes when we face problems in the church, we were in our house and we look at each other and we just laugh. We just laugh in the Holy Ghost. Because we cannot be weak for the church. We need to be strong. Amen. If the pastor is weak, how can we lead the church? So when we face problem, we just laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Ho, 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 ho. He, 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 he. We are not going to live in sadness. Amen. We're going to live in a joy which is not dictated by what's happening. We are not dictated by the circumstances outside us. But we are dictated by the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. If you never get the joy of the Holy Ghost, I recommend you get one. Amen. How many people have gotten the joy of the Holy Ghost? I mean, have the experience of the joy of the Holy Ghost? How many people have the holy laughter before? You should get one and continue in it. Amen. It's so good, I tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. Today we're going to look at the issue of joy in relationship. And I want to tell you that there are so many things that can kill your joy. When Abraham went into a land, he dig so many wells for his people, his household and animals. And the water come up in the well. And what happened? The Philistines come and put the dirt onto the well and pluck it up, pluck the water up. The water represents the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Holy Spirit is inside of us. Amen? Amen. So the joy of God is inside. But the devil will put something to pluck up the wells of the joy of God that is inside us. And that's why sometimes we need the anointing. You know, how many people know the meaning of Isaac, the son of Abraham? What does his name mean? What does it mean? Isaac means laughter. So that's why today, in the end time, God used minister to lay hand on people to get laughter, to unplug the well. Unplug all the bad stuff out of our life so that the flow of the anointing of God can flow through us again. Amen. So that we can see miracles happen through our life. Unplug the well by laughter. God wants to give you back. God wants to give back the church the joy of the Holy Ghost. We have too many sad things in the church. Amen. People cannot smile in the church anymore. Everything's so ritualistic and traditional. But we can have joy of the Holy Ghost in the church. I want to tell you three things that the devil used to pluck up the joy in relationship. And we need to get rid of those. Today, I'm going to talk about these three things that kill joy, the joy of God in our life. And if I have time, I'm going to tell you some antidote of the joy killer. The first thing that kills the joy of people is the joy of relationship is selfishness. Selfishness is saying, I want what I want, and you want what you want, and we don't get along together. That's what selfishness. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, I read from NLT. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous for what others have, and you cannot possess it. So you fight and quarrel to take it away from them, and yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. James say clearly that the root of many difficulties and miserable situation in relationship is a power struggle between two selfish, insecure people. For a lot of us, in order to resolve the problem of relationship, either husband and wife, or church members, or partners, or relationship in anywhere, the simple solution of relationship problem is two words. G-R-O-W. Grow. U-P up. Grow up. You need to grow up. Stop being selfish. Stop being immature. Stop being insecure. Stop being so self-centered. Think of your mate. Think of your husband. Think of your friend rather than just yourself. Amen. You hear people say like this, I have my rights. Have you heard that? Yes, you do. You have your rights. But if you start focusing on your rights, you end up competing with other people rather than complimenting them. And you know what? Your relationship is going to be miserable. You are not going to have joy in your relationship. You're going to have miserable relationship. What is the cause of lack of joy in relationship? Pure and simple selfishness. I want to tell you that I am naturally self-centered. And you too, too. Every one of us in this room are naturally self-centered and selfish. How would I know that? Let me share like this. If I have a Polaroid camera and I took a picture in this corner right now, the picture come out in 1 minute, and I show you the picture. All of you look at the picture. You will think this way. If I have my eye crossed, my finger in my nose, that picture is bad, no matter how other people look like. Is that right? If I look bad in the picture, that whole picture is bad, no matter how Pat looks. Is that right? But if I look good, the whole picture look good. Self-centered. How many people notice that when you look at a picture, the first person you look in that picture is yourself, and you see how good you look in that picture. Every one of us is self-centered naturally. Amen. I'm glad I'm set free from this. Because when I look at the picture, usually I look at my wife first to see how good it looks. If it doesn't look good, I just erase from my digital camera and take again. Amen. I don't look at myself anymore. Nothing to look at. Who say amen? You need to repent. Now I know what you think about me. Get off the focus. Get the focus off yourself. Get the focus off yourself. Get it back on other people in relationship. Get the focus on other people. Amen. And you will be joyful. You will be happy. The Bible says, wherever there is jealousy or selfish ambition, there will be disorder and every other kind of evil. That's what the Bible says. You know, I just came back from vacation. And this is interesting. I walk into the hotel. And I heard the Holy Spirit say clearly to me, son, tell the whole group, your whole family, that don't be selfish and be joyful. If you are selfish and complain, you are not going to be happy in this vacation. It's amazing. I mean, God told me like that before I even read this sermon on the airplane. You know, God said, you will not be happy if you think about yourself. But if you think about other people and be happy and joyful and laugh and enjoy what God gives to you. Enjoy, rejoice in the Lord your God. Whatever He gives to you, don't be complainer. Don't be selfish. Don't ever think about yourself. Amen. Let's say at the same time, I get the focus of myself. I will focus on other people. Hallelujah. Everyone say amen. The second killer of joy in relationship is resentment. Resentment say, I will not forgive you. You know, I want to tell you, the fact of life is that we hurt each other all the time. Amen? Please don't leave this church because of this reason. That because you are hurt. When you face Jesus that day, you cannot look at His eyes. Because it's a totally wrong thing to leave the church because you are hurt. You know why? You go to another church, you're going to get hurt again. In any church, in any relationship, you're going to get hurt some way, somehow. Amen. That's why the Bible says clearly that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We hurt each other either intentionally or unintentionally all the time. I hurt my wife all the time. In the past, 25 years of our marriage. 24 years of marriage. Huh? In the last 7 days, I hurt her every single day. Why? Why we hurt each other? Because we are human beings. Amen. We have conflicts. We have different interests. I want to go to swim. She want to go to dough plantation. She want to see flower, but I want to go to swim. So we hurt each other. She want leopard ice cream. I want pizza. You see? We hurt each other all the time. We have conflict. But if you keep that hurt, if you keep resentment, you keep the bitterness inside you, your relationship gonna be miserable. Not joyful. Nothing can destroy relationship as fast as resentment. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard people say like this? I heard all the time as a pastor. I don't love him anymore. I don't have any feeling for my wife anymore. I'm just empty inside. I don't hate her. I don't hate her. But I have no feeling for her. Have you heard that? You know, when I hear this, I know right away that resentment is going on in the heart. And you know what resentment do to you? Resentment will eat up your energy, Amen. Your emotional energy. It will eat up your emotional feeling. Amen. You spend all of your time and energy thinking about this bad feeling, the hurts. And eventually, when you eat up, eventually you become empty on the inside and you have no feeling anymore. You know, I learned the lesson in my life that every time people hurt my feeling, I get rid of that resentment at that minute. I will make decision to love that person and keep looking. That's why I read from the scripture a while ago. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if is there any praiseworthy, meditate on this thing. You know, I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes. I hurt her feeling, but it's her job to keep looking at the good part of my life. The same thing. She may hurt my feeling. She may offend me. But I, instead of focusing on what she offend me, I should focus on the good things in her life. The true, the praiseworthy, the virtue in her life. Amen. I get rid of resentment as soon as possible because I don't want to be eaten up by resentment and become drained and miserable all the time. I don't want to be miserable all the time. I want to be a happy person. If people see my face as a Christian doctor and see me, I look miserable all the time. They don't want to be a Christian. Amen. They want to be a Christian. When they see Christian, happy, a joyful. Amen. How many people feel this way? I feel cheated in my relationship. False advertising. I don't expect you to be like this. I thought you are a Cinderella. You are perfect. Before I marry you, I thought you were perfect. You cheat me. After I marry you, I find out a lot of stuff that I don't like. Hallelujah. You know, I want to tell you the fact. The truth is this. Every relationship is built on two imperfect persons. You say that she is imperfect. I want to tell you right now, you are not perfect either. Hey, man. You are not perfect either. You have some flaw character in your life. You have some mistake in your life and fault in your life as well. Amen. If you just expect perfection in your relationship, you're going to lose your joy. Don't expect perfection. Perfection will come only when Jesus comes back, when we go to heaven. But as long as you live on this physical body, you're not going to see any perfection in any relationship, even in the local church. Don't expect a perfect pastor. Amen? Amen. Sometimes I need to teach you about the job of a pastor. How many people know the job of the pastor? The job of a pastor is not to marry you. It's not to do the vow thing for you. The job of a pastor is not to perform funeral ceremony for people. The job of a pastor is not that you go to ask him to talk to your wife for you. The job of the pastor is to train, to equip people to do the work of God.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people misunderstand that the pastor is the one who clean your diaper, who, you know, go and clean everything and just do everything you want. Use him as your servant and pay him the least you can. Make him miserable. He cannot have a good vacation. He needs to suffer because he's a pastor. Hey, wrong. The pastor has a job to train you. That's why the Bible says give double honor to the pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Because he teach and preach. You need to give him double honor. Not treat him like a, you know, like, hey, come here. My wife is crying. My husband is crying. Come and talk like this. You know, it's not our job to do that. And yes, we do it as a friend. But you need to understand that, you know, the job of a pastor is to train and to teach and equip people according to the Bible. Amen. If you treat the pastor in the right way, you're going to be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. So treat Pastor Caesar in the right way.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 verse 29, I read from Living Bible. The fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. You know, I learned something about life. I don't want God, actually God talk to me all the time. God say, Mom, you don't practice provoking people to anger. And you know what he said to me? Shut your mouth. Lately I learned one thing is that if I don't need to say anything, I don't say anything. I'm serious. Because the more you say things, sometimes you sarcasm people. Sometimes you make people hurt. Sometimes you say things that make people upset. So lately I just, when I drive the car, I just keep quiet and just say good things. Oh, I'm so glad you come with us. And I will not say anything to sarcasm people, to make people upset. You know why? The Bible says, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. Don't provoke resentment. Don't provoke anger. Shut your mouth. Watch your mouth carefully. Amen.
Amen.
So that you will not destroy the joy of your marriage relationship. Your relationship between friends. Go to care group. Don't say something bad. Say something always encourage. Watch your mouth. If you're going to say something bad to provoke people anger, stop it. Shut your mouth. Hit your head. Don't say it. Amen. Hallelujah. I give you an example like this. For example, maybe you both buy clothes. The same kind of clothes. You buy the same purse. How about this? The same purse. Exactly the same company. And then the person, that person buy a little bit too expensive because he doesn't know how to, she doesn't know how to bargain the price. And you come, you know, I buy cheaper than you. This is not something you should say. I'm serious. You provoke the anger, you know, just keep your mouth shut. Just say, oh, thank God you have the right purse. Thank God. You know, I'm glad you have the right purse. Don't say, you know, you buy $5, I buy $1. Look at this. It's the work of the flesh. You cause people to be resentful. Amen. Cause people to be upset. Shut your mouth.
Amen.
At the same time, if people say something bad to you, I give it to Jesus. I don't keep resentment in me. Amen. I will say like this in my heart. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't keep resentment because it kills your joy. Number three. The third thing, number one, selfishness. Number two, resentment. Number three, fear. Fear say like this, I don't trust you anymore. How many people feel that way? You know, I and Da, we were talking. In the past, we have been a pastor since 1982. So we've been a pastor for 22 years. And many times we look at each other's face. We say that if by our flesh we want to quit. Because we face so many rejection. And to the point that sometimes we fear. I have to admit that sometimes I come to the point that I fear to expose my life to people. To be close to some member in the church. Because if I become so close and they leave, I hurt. They don't hurt, I hurt. They could move on with their life, I'm the one who get hurt. Because I love them, I do everything, I pay money, I spend my time, I keep up my time with my family to be with them. So it's so easy to be fearful to be a pastor, to give your life to somebody. But the Lord told me, son, don't live in fear. Actually, the Lord said even this to me. If you do good to them, and they hurt your feeling, and they leave, and they do something bad to you, your rewards will be even greater in heaven. Because you don't receive reward from man, but you receive reward from God. Your score is in heaven. You get them saved, you disciple them, you take care of them, and they reject you. Is that a problem? Not my problem. I love them. Amen. So don't be fearful. I and Da, Pastor Da, gonna continue to pastor people, love people, give to people, give our life to people. No matter what happened in the past, we are not gonna say, I don't trust you anymore. Even Jesus faced people reject him, Judas.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. When fear build up in your life, the joy will go out the window. Don't walk in fear. The Bible says in Proverbs, fear is opposite faith. Faith and trust the same. Fear and anxiety come together. Fear, those who walk in fear have no faith. If you fear that you don't have food tomorrow on the table, you are not walking in faith. Amen. If you fear that people will not love you, you are not walking in faith. How many people want to walk in faith? Don't walk in fear. Don't walk in anxiety. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 verse 25 in NIV, an anxious heart, the same thing like fearful heart, weighs a man down. If you live in anxiety all the time, you live in fear all the time, you will get miserable. You will get wear down. You're not happy. You cannot smile. You will become angry all the time. Amen. Those who have fear usually build walls around them instead of building bridges. Have you ever walked to somebody? You walk in one step, they walk back one step. You walk another step in, they walk back another step. They build walls, they don't build bridges. They encase themselves in an isolation booth. Put the wall up, isolate themselves full of fear. They don't want to have any emotional intimacy with anyone. Stay distant. You don't know me, I don't know you. I don't want anything to do with you. There is fear. Is that right? There's no joy. They wear masks. They don't want anyone else to know who they are. Because they are fearful that if people know who they are, they shall be rejected. Amen. That is fear. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why people live in fear? Because they don't have love. If you have love, you will not live in fear. And you know what the Bible says? Because fear involves torment or torture. When you live in fear, you are tortured on the inside of you. Amen. If you are fearful that people will not love you, you torment yourself. If you are fearful to spend some money, you torment yourself. You're fearful to give money to God, you torment yourself because you live in fear all the time. Will I have enough for tomorrow? Oh, all this stuff. You fear all the time. You torment yourself. That's why the Bible says if you walk in love, you will not fear and you will not torment yourself. fear cause us to do three things. Number one, fear makes us defensive. I won't admit my mistake. You know why fear makes us defensive, like defense? I will not tell my mistake. I will not let you know my weaknesses. You know why? Because I want to be better than you. I'm afraid that I will be below you. Not only that, if you know my mistake, you will not like me. But I want to tell you one thing. The Church of Jesus Christ is a place of practicing unconditional love. I and Da will love you unconditionally no matter what. No matter what. Because it's a place of practicing unconditional love. Don't just come to church to fill your head with all the knowledge of the Bible. Go and practice it. Go and do it. Do practice what the Word of God say.
Amen.
My dear brother and sister, if I can choose between having a nice, beautiful building, nice carpet, nice material in the church, and the member who practice the Word of God, I rather choose the church that maybe even have no material at all, but people who walk in love.
Amen. Amen.
I choose love more than material. Amen. How many people agree with me? We need to walk in love. Be vulnerable. People can know your mistake. Don't worry. Don't live in fear. Pastor Da and I already make a decision that we are not going to fear for people to leave the church. If I walk in that fear that if I say something wrong and people leave the church, I am sinning. Amen. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. I'm not going to live in fear. Amen. Because you both of us are going to stand before God one day and give account to God what we do in this church. But I can guarantee if you stay here, you will grow. You will grow spiritually. Amen. Fear makes us distant. I don't want to be close to anyone because they might not like me. I'm afraid of being rejected. So you always stay away from people. You stay distant from people all the time. Number three, fear make me demanding. Some people, when they fear, they demand. They always in control. They call the shot. They have the last word. You know why? Because they fear that things will not go the way they like. So they always call the shot. My way or highway. I'm top. I'm the CEO. You know, people who practice like that have insecurity in their heart. People who always call the shot.
Right.
People who always say, my way or highway or highway. Or people always say that, I have the last word in this meeting. I have the last word in this decision. They are not secure. Because secure people will listen to other people. You don't have to be fearful that other people will make wrong decision. Amen. So you're always open to other people's opinion. You don't call the shot all the time. Amen. So don't live in fear. And the spirit of fear. Some of us may need some deliverance because demon of fear grip you. And you need to be delivered from the demon of fear. Maybe you start from being fearful yourself. But after you open for a while, the spirit of fear come in and they make you fear everything. Fear, I fear the cancer. I fear disease. I fear that and fear that. I fear die sooner. I fear I become poor. I fear everything. And it's torture. It's a torture. Amen. Stay in the Word of God. Think what is true, what is noble, what is praiseworthy, what is loving, lovely, what is just, what is noble. Think the right thing. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be fearful. Now, how we can get rid of all these three things? We need to focus. We need to have the right perspective. We need to have the mind of Christ. This is very important. My dear brother and sister, a lot of people get into trouble because they have the wrong perspective of life. We need to have godly perspective. Why I need to preach the word of God in the church? Because I want you to have the perspective of God. Godly perspective. What is the perspective mean? What does it mean? It means the way you look at the circumstance, the way you look at the relationship, the way you look at the problem. And perspective is determined by the mind that you have here, the mind of Christ. The Bible says, renew your mind with the word of God. You need the mind of God. You need to think the way God thinks. You need to have God perspective, not man perspective. Amen. You are the product of your past. Many things that you think, for example, I give this example. If you come from the poor family, no food on the table for many years. When you grow up, you are the product of that thing, and you're going to be very, very scared of being poor again. So you save every money yourself and you don't want to give to anyone because you come from that product of being poor. Amen. Or on the opposite way, some people have this kind of product, come from a poor family. What happened? When they get money, they spend a lot, spend too much. They don't know how to save because they were poor in the past. Now I want to spend all of them. So people can go either way, can go two extremes. But no, both extremes are wrong. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to think the way God thinks. And the first thing I want to tell you today and continue next Sunday, the first thing that we need to have perspective, God's perspective of focus is this. Focus on giving rather than receiving. Amen. If you want to have joy in any relationship, marriage, relationship, friendship, church membership, members in a care group, if in order to keep joy in your relationship, you need to focus on giving. Let's say at the same time. Focus on. Giving. Rather than receiving. That is called love. Love is giving. Love is focused on giving rather than receiving. The Bible says God is love. And God gave His one and only Son. God was a giver. God gave every good gift. Come from down from heaven. I want to say this. Listen carefully. You can give without love. You can give grudgingly without love. Okay. But you cannot love. You can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. If you love, you give. You know why I try to give the best education to my kids? You know why my dad gave me the best education? He sent me to the best school. He sent me to the best university because he loved me. And I know that. If you love somebody, you give. Hello? Do you hear that? You can give without loving, but if you love, you will give. Amen? And if you give, you concentrate or focus on giving, you will become more like God because God is a giving God. Amen. Acts chapter 2 verse 35. I experienced this scripture myself. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Whose words? The Lord Jesus. That he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Another version say, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. When you love, you focus on somebody else, not rather than on yourself. A lot of what we call love today is not love. It's lust. Love is based on giving. But lust is based on getting. Love can wait to give. But lust cannot wait to get. When people lust, they want to get as soon as possible. So if a man loved you, truly loved you, he can wait. Is that right? But if the man lusts over you, he cannot wait. He wants it now. So does he love you or does he lust over you? Amen. Why so many marriages falling apart so fast? You know why? Because they get into marriage with this attitude, receiving. What can I get out of this relationship? So after the man drained all the things out of the woman, everything he get, then he said, nothing I can get anymore. I leave. I walk away. Self-centeredness instead of loving. Receiving instead of giving. That's why the relationship is broken in marriage. That's why the relationship is miserable. Because they focus on getting, not giving. The wrong kind of love. I want to tell you that there are three ways of loving. Number one, I will love if, that's one kind. I will love you if you do good to me. I love you if you will be cool. I love you if you give me some financial support. I love you if you give me position. I love you if you do things to me. But when the if change, the love change. That is not godly love. The second one of love is this. I love you because. I love you because you are talented. I love you because you are good looking. I love you because you are so good to me. I love you because you do things for me. But when you find somebody smarter, more beautiful, more good looking, better looking, then you say, I'm gone. That is not godly love. But the real love is this. I love you, period. I love you, period. I tell you right now, if you bring to me the most beautiful woman, the most talented and the richest woman in the world, come to me and say, oh, you know, you can have her. I will say, no. I love her, period. It doesn't matter. I love her not because she's talented, not because she's beautiful, not because, yes, she's beautiful. But I love her not because she's beautiful. I love her because I love her, period. Amen. Amen. That is the agape love. Amen. That we need to have in our relationship. Amen. Amen. So, is that kind of love you have? Love build up. I notice about typical man. Typical man is this. When they turn about 20 years old, 22 years old, they have a goal. Their mission. Their mission is to get married. So he will come around and look for a very nice young lady. And that man will do everything under the sun. Buy flower, give gifts, take out for dinner, movie, do everything to win a woman's heart. And once the woman say yes, get the ring, get married, the mission is done. The mission is over. Go to the next mission. You know what is the next mission usually? The next mission is to build business to finance the marriage. Now all of his attention out of his wife and go to the business. And the poor girl, I thought my Prince Charming, he loved me, he used to give me a lot of attention, now he's gone all the time, he travel all the time, he never been home all now anymore, he doesn't care about my relationship anymore. Because the focus has changed. Because the goal is changed. Dating turned into debating. Amen. My dear brother and sister, the Bible say clearly that everything need to be built up to next level. You cannot stop relationship with your wife after you get married. Amen. The Bible say to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. In other words, they step to the next level. I want to read from another version. Learn to put aside 2 Peter 1:7, your own desire, so that you will become patient and godly. This will make possible the next step. Everyone say the next step. You know, I am still building the next step of my relationship with my wife. I never stopped yet. I want to go to the next step of loving her, which is for you to enjoy other people and to like them, and finally you will grow to love them deeply. It's the next step. You need to love your wife more each year, deeply, more and more. You need to love your brother and sister in the church more and more each year. You know, I'm guilty of this sometimes. I have to admit to you, and I repent already. And I try to do my best. You know, sometimes people come into the care group, or they are new. You show all kind of love to them. After they become member, then you ignore them. Is that what happens sometimes? We need to do our best. That's why you get my phone call off and on. I want to let you know that I still love you the same, like the first day you walk into the church. But I have limited time. I have only 24 hours a day. So I cannot be with everyone at the same time. But we think about you. We love you. We call you. We email you. You know, sometimes you get my email, not because I want to bug you. How many people get my email sometimes? You know why? Because I want to let you know I think about you. That's why I email you, not to solicit your life, your privacy, but because I loved you. Amen. All the men, keep building that love, deeper love. Your mission has not changed. Your mission is still to love your wife more and more each day. Amen. This is a stage of marriage. I'm going to end the service here. The stage of marriage. First year, darling, I'm worried that you cough. I'm going to call an ambulance to send you to Overlake Hospital. And I know you don't like the hospital food, so I'm going to buy some good food from that restaurant for you. Second year, sweetheart, I don't like the way you cough. I have arranged for Dr. Neil Calkin for a house call. And let me tuck you in the bed. Third year, you look like you have a cold. Why don't you drive yourself to the urgent care and get some medicine? Fourth year, look, be sensible. After you fed the kids, bathed the kids, washed the dishes, you ought to get to bed because you are sick. Fifth year, for our baby's sake, would you please stop coughing and complaining? I hope that is not your house. My dear brother and sister, it's a choice. We focus on giving, not receiving. But some of you say like this, Pastor, I know that your preaching is good, but when I come home, I'm exhausted. I don't have anything, I don't have any energy to show love to my wife. You know, some husbands say like this, when I first get married, my wife give me a slipper when I walk into the house, and my dog bark at me. But after a few years, it switch. My love run out. My energy of love run out. I cannot show love anymore. I cannot give anymore. I'm tired. I wake up early in the morning. I work all day. I come home. I don't have energy to give. Okay. That's why I want to end this sermon to say this. The Bible says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us. That's why we need Jesus. Your own love gonna run dry. Your own energy to show love gonna run dry. The only way that you can show love and keep giving is by depending on the unlimited love of the Holy Spirit. Right. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. You need to walk in the Spirit. You need to live a life of the power of God. The Spirit of God is upon you, and He anoints you to love and to preach the gospel. When I love my wife, I preach the gospel. When I love my brother and sister, I preach the gospel, because people see that we love one another. Amen. We depend on the love of God. The love of God will never run dry. The rivers of God will never come to an end. We need Jesus. If you don't know how to love, if you feel that your love kind of run dry now, you need the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's why I love the Holy Spirit. That's why I love to be touched by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because every time I get touched by Him, I get energy to love again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many people say, God, help me to get rid of my selfishness. Help me to get rid of resentment. Help me to get rid of fear. How many people say, help me to focus on giving, not receiving, rather than receiving? Why don't we stand up together? Let's pray. Next week, we're going to continue this series, how to keep joy in your relationship. Father in heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus that by your power and anointing, you change our mind, Lord. You change our focus. You change our perspective. We want to focus on giving because you say it is more blessed to give than to receive. Help us to focus on giving, Lord. Help us to focus on somebody else, not rather than on ourselves. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I say that selfishness will be removed from our mind and our spirit, from our life, right now in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We speak and command that people shall overcome resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness. They will learn how to forgive and forget. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak that fear must leave their heart right now. But you fill their heart with love. Because love casts out all fear. Lord, help your people. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come and help us, Lord. Come and help us. I'd like to ask you if you know that you have selfishness in your heart, you have resentment in your heart, or you have fear inserted into in your life, why don't you repent right now and ask God for forgiveness? You close your eyes and ask God to forgive you. Cleanse you with the blood of Jesus right now. Repent of your sin. Repent of these three things in your life. You may be resentful towards somebody in the church right now. You may be resentful towards your husband, towards your wife. You may fear of being hurt or being rejected. You may fear, you may have selfish thinking. Your own benefit, your own gains. You say, God, I don't want to do that anymore. I repent of my sin, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. In Jesus' mighty name, ask God to help you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-7266. 1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.